chapter 2. Last week, Dan talked about chapter 2 of Genesis, going back and kind of backtracking for some of the information that was in chapter 1. Chapter 3 does that again for chapter 2, and we look at chapters 1, 2, and 3 as being told what's happened and going back, repeating, and kind of giving you a little bit more information than what you had previously. Sometimes the way that you see perhaps a movie start at one point and then go back and give, and fill in the blanks, that's kind of what chapters 1, 2, and 3 do. So we're going to start with chapter 2, verse 5 this morning and kind of go forward from there, but skip around as we get to the main points of chapters 2 and 3. And it's my goal or my intent to get through both chapters 2 and 3 today. Although there could be a lot of discussion because there's just a lot of stuff here. So feel free. You guys know how I do it. I don't like to do all the talking. So chapter 2, verse 5. Before any plant of the field was in the earth, before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. All right, kind of a end recap, breaking point. God's told us what has happened up to this point. He's gotten everything pretty much done except for, right? There was no man to till the ground. How had everything been brought into existence up to this point? Spoken. God just spoke it into existence, okay? And we're getting ready for a big change, obviously, in that. But the things that we had that were in place, the birds and the herbs and the plants and the trees and so on and so forth mentioned here that had not yet started to grow and seed and reproduce, etc. and so on, because there was no man to till the ground, had all been just spoken into existence. Verse 7, and the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man came a living being. We've heard the term God breathed. We've heard it explained or used as God created Adam. What does it mean? God breathed. Joe says spoke, but in here in verse 7, God breathed a little more than just spoke. Pardon, Betty?
Life.
Betty said it imparts life. What had God done up to this point regarding creation? Spoken things into existence. What did God do in verse 7 when it came to creating man?
In his image and breathed into his the breath of life.
He did two things. He created him in his own image, and he put his breath into man. Cain, do you have a question? He did not breathe into the animals. The terminology that's used both for man and animals and trees too for the other matter is that from the ground he created them. We're not given a description of how the animals were created. No, we're not told that they were breathed into. There is certainly no evidence of that. That seems to be that which is man's and man's alone. How does it separate us then? And Cain's point was that separates us from the cattle and the dogs and the pigs and so on and so forth. How? Gary? What makes up man, Gary? Gary said he gave us a soul. I pick on Gary, he says he gave part of the answer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Now many the God of peace himself... Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, your soul, and your body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many parts are there in Paul's letter here? What are they? The body, the soul, the spirit. What's the difference between the soul and the spirit? Joe said, that's a good question. What is the difference between the soul and the spirit?
Sometimes they're used interchangeably. But the word... soul always means the eternal being.
Sometimes they are used interchangeably, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and 23 that we just read makes it clear that they are two separate parts. Chuck?
Animals have a spirit but not a soul.
Chuck, I'm not sure I'm going there. Animals have something that makes them different from a cauliflower. But I'm not sure I'm going there. And the reason I'm not, and I'm not, just to make sure you know, I'm not picking on you. That soul is that which we have that does separate us from the animals and lives forever eternally. We're going to be somewhere feeling, knowing, acknowledging pain or pleasure. It's actually our choice. And that spirit is that which connects us to God. It is that part that God breathed into us that made us part of Him. You know, I love my dog. She's the sweetest, and obviously since she's mine, she's the smartest dog there is in the world. Smarter than all of yours. But, I find no evidence that Annie is going to exist beyond that which is here. Nor am I able to carry on a conversation with Annie regarding right and wrong and feel the need for her to be baptized. Now, I do remember a story about a dog one time that came to church even without its owner. And it was kind of funny in that every morning the lady walked to church with her dog, and the dog climbed under the pew and sat there during church. And even on mornings when the lady was sick, the dog still walked to church and got under the pew. And that's not a preacher story. That actually happened where Debbie and I used to be members, but before Debbie's and mine's time. That story came to me from an elder there at that congregation. That dog didn't know why he was going to church, though. Not at all. Gary? Well, they're his creatures. There's no doubt. And they were paraded in front of Adam for him to do what? Name them. And amongst them there was not found what? A helper suitable to man. And so because of that, Eve was formed. Those animals play a pivotal role throughout the Bible. We're going to get with one of those animals in the next chapter and talk about that particular animal a little bit. And throughout, we see comparisons too. And, you know, I think about animals and I think about Ahab. Because what was it prophesied? Ahab and his evil wife Jezebel, and regarding their blood and the dogs licking up their blood and so on. I think the joke was, what's the only scriptural name for a pet, and the name was Moreover, because moreover the dogs licked their blood up, or something along those lines. Chapter 2, verse 9. Let's get into the garden just a little bit. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. All right. How many things are we told specifically that there are in the garden? Specifically. Okay. And this is it. Two. Now we know that generally speaking, or generically speaking, broadly, there's all kinds of plants, flowers, herbs, etc., and so on. Two are listed by name. Tree of life, tree of good and evil. Where are they in the garden? In the midst of the garden. Midsts, M-I-D-S-T. Middle of the garden. Adam and Eve would have known where they were. Yes? No? Yes, apparently they did. Do you think there's a reason God put them in the middle of the garden? What? They were special. They have some rules attached to them? Or did at least one of them have a rule attached to it? And what was the rule? What did God say about all the stuff that was in the garden? That it was good. It was profitable. You could eat from it. You could take it for food. Except for what? And then the prohibition was to eat it because what would happen if they did? Verse 11? No, I'm sorry. 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it," what happens? If you had been given that instruction, how would you have taken it?
Literally.
Joe says literally. I happen to agree. If I were there and somebody said, "You shall not eat of this or you shall die," I would have assumed that if I took one bite of it, I was going to hit the deck. Think Adam and Eve assumed the same thing? Was the fruit poisonous? Careful how you answer that. It might be a loaded question. I'll ask it again. Was the fruit poisonous?
Not to the physical.
Yes and no. That's what I want you to say. Yes and no. Instantaneous death, no. What did it bring? What did it bring to mankind, though? Eventual death, pain, suffering, things that wouldn't have been there otherwise. Now, I've got another question I want you to think about, too. And that is, do you think? This is a thought question because we're going to come back to this when we come, just plan it now, we'll come back to it later. Do you think Eve understood good from evil?
Understood what?
Good from evil.
No.
Just think about it. Don't answer it now, we're going to come back to it. All right? Who got the instruction not to eat from the tree? Is there an indication in the scripture that references God giving the instruction to Adam that Eve was also there? At that moment, to hear that instruction. What's the order of things in Genesis chapter 2? It appears that Adam was there and got the instruction, later Eve was formed. Betty?
Says the Lord God commanded the man, and then in verse 19,
Yes. It appears that way. And again, just, I'm sorry, Chuck, no? And again, we'll come back to this in chapter 3, and it's not one of those things that necessarily is changing the outcome of anything. But I have a question to ask you later regarding the approaching of Eve by the serpent, and I just want to plant that now before we get there. Did Eve hear the command from God, or did Eve hear the command from Adam? Adam got it straight from God. Is there any question about that? None. Okay? Fran?
Do you think they really understood that? Because who got it before that?
That's why I asked the question, did they really understand good and evil? They're about to. They understood some things. And my point with the good and evil question was, if it hasn't been introduced, how do you know what it is at that point? That is correct. But did you say Adam did not? Adam was deceived. He was by Eve.
Eve was deceived, but Adam was not.
Adam, though, was punished equally. I'm not sure what scriptural reference you're referring to that Adam was not. Tim? Gary's point about the timing. We don't know when chapter 3 started. I think a lot of times when we sit down and read, we have a tendency just to think, okay, all this other stuff happened on up to day 6. On day 7, God rested, so the serpent must have come to Eve in the garden on day 8. There's no evidence of that. There's no reference to it. We don't know, but the time, and it's not, furthermore, it's not important. Because the fact is, Adam and Eve, mankind was there in the garden, created by God. God breathed, as the scripture we read earlier, and now we have this problem that's going to affect all of mankind thereafter. The timing is not important, but yet it plays a part in the whole story. All right, let's keep going in chapter 2, because there's good stuff in 2, and we're going to get to 3, hopefully, and get back to all this stuff and kind of repeat it anyway. Tommy? Okay, we're going to come back there. I'm not trying to put you off, but we're going to get back there. All right. Pete, did you have another good question, another just one of those things to think about? They're about to find out what death means, and they'll get that lesson fairly soon.
Because nothing that died yet that we know
of.
Yeah.
All right, let's stay in chapter 2, go to verse 15. We'll come back to that old snake in just a minute. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. We sometimes wonder why we're here. We know that we are to fear God and keep His commandments. We know that Joshua and his house served the Lord before he died, when he gave his speech to the Israelites, "Choose this day which God you will serve, but for me and my house we will serve the Lord." We know that we're here to spread the gospel. We know that we're here to be a light. We know that we are here as a reflection of God. We are also here to work. Verse 15. What was Adam and Eve's purpose there in the garden? Remember when we went back to verse 5 and it said there was no man to till the ground? There is now man to till the ground. Is there any question that we are expected to function as a benefit to those around us and to ourselves, and to help take care of our own self and so on and so forth? With all the scriptural reference that we have regarding those who will not work, will not eat, and on day whatever, God put Adam and Eve there and said, your job is to keep this garden. Your job is to work, and that's an important part. Friends, you have your hand up. How do we react to things when we take active part in them? I think the proper phraseology in today's time is when you take ownership of a project, what happens? It becomes part of what you are, who you are. You work hard for it. You take pride in it. Good kind of pride, not bad. You do those things which cause you to work a little more or work a little harder so that you can do a good job, so that your part of the project is finished in a satisfactory manner. All of those things are good things. God put us here in order to have pride in our work and to do something productive. Tim? I remember something about FIRST. Now, are you reading American Standard, by the way? Pardon? New American Standard? Okay. Then I will just go with that. I will go forward with that. I remember that. I had in my mind the extra word in there, the man not first deceived. Okay? Now, forget that. I don't want to muddy the waters up because I'm probably wrong. I'll go back later and look at it. We'll just accept that and go forward. Because Eve was deceived by the devil. Adam went before God and said, "Hey, not my fault, the woman gave it to me." But did Adam get punished also? And the answer to that is yes. All right, so we'll just go from there. Thanks, Tim. And I need to do some research on that. I'm probably wrong. Most of the time I am. Just ask Debbie. She'll tell you. Where is she? And Dave. But more so, God didn't accept the excuse from Adam. God didn't accept the fact that, "Oh, my wife made me do it." Okay. The rule was broken. Verse 18 through 24, second chapter. "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him.' Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to all the birds, to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper compatible to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took out one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made to a woman. He brought her to the man, and Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.'" What mother and father did Adam leave? There wasn't one, was there? What's the instruction? Out of the words of Adam. "Therefore a man shall leave his mother and father and be joined to his wife." Well, out of the words of God. Immediately after the word spoken by Adam. What's the instruction? Why is it important in Genesis chapter 2 when there's only two people on the face of the earth? Yeah, everybody's saying the same thing. Because the rule is the rule. And the rule is there for everybody else to follow from that point forward. Something else, Noel? Or did you? Yeah. I think it's interesting, though, that God takes care of two really big issues that a lot of times we gloss over when we read this on day whatever. early on. And that is, you're put here to work. Man and woman, plan A, family, husband, wife, leave father and mother. Tim?
Well, we got to read some of your
That's true. Moses writing. And we put it here along with all this creation stuff for emphasis, to make sure that everyone understands the importance of it, that God commanded Moses or God inspired Moses to talk about this now, early on, as we read these first few scriptures about the creation of this earth and the creation of man. I saw another hand somewhere. Ruth? I can't see you, Ruth. All scripture was profitable for teaching and et cetera and so on. Absolutely. Ruth says this was written for our learning, and we know that. It's here. It's obvious for us. But I really like the fact that we're two chapters into the Bible, and if we're reading it from the start to the finish, we've been told early on, go get a job and marry a woman and let her be your wife and start a family and go forward. It's pretty clear what God's plan A is it not? Plan A doesn't always work, but it's certainly plan A. Chapter 3. Now we're going to get into it. The snake. The serpent. How many instances can you think of in which animals talked in the Bible? I've got two. Balaam's donkey and here the serpent. If there's another one, I didn't find it. Plus, I Googled it, just to be sure. And everybody knows, if it's on the internet, it's true. So, if it's pretty good that it's those two. But I don't want to lose the fact here, because as we talk about chapter 2 and the serpent, who do we know that the serpent represents? There's references all through Scripture referring to the devil as a serpent. Yes?
Yes.
All right. Who was talking to Eve? Careful. Who was talking to Eve? It was a snake. Now, I don't know about you. Tim was talking about, or somebody was talking about earlier, about having been there, man having been there and born or created with a certain level of understanding of a lot of different things. Absolutely, I agree. Do you not think that at some point, if you had been walking around and a snake came up to you and started talking, you would have looked down and said, wow, a talking snake? There's a lot of things here in chapter 3 that just kind of, I got to remember that Adam was really talking to a snake. I got to remember that Balaam was really talking to a donkey. First and foremost, there were other things at play here, and obviously God had a part of this in that some supernatural things were done, but Eve was talking to a snake. Gary, do you have a question or a comment? Now, we don't know, but that's, again, part of getting back to what it is of who Eve was talking to. When the punishment came down, there were some things that were punishments that wouldn't apply if the snake wasn't a snake. You follow what we're getting at there? So, Eve was talking to a snake. Now, go to Revelation chapter, Revelation 12:9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Go to John chapter 8, verse 44. You know this one by heart anyway. We'll still read it. (Clears throat) This is the voice of, this is Jesus talking. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own sources, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, Paul also mentions the serpent or the snake. Is there any doubt who the temptation is coming from? In Genesis chapter 3. It means he was a snake. It means he was craftier. And that's another part of this chapter 3 that sits here and just looks at us and makes us scratch our head sometimes. God made all the creatures.
And so God made them more crafty.
And there was the serpent.
So God made the devil.
If everybody's created, I mean, we're getting to that. If God is the creator, then the devil could be nothing more than a created being. We have free will. We have free will. We have. The angels have free will. And there are those that with the devil were cast out. Dave? And we make those choices on a day-to-day basis. And all of God's creatures made those choices and have made those choices. In this particular instance, the serpent, Jim? I agree to the point of, but the devil was what? No, there's not, but I have to make a conclusion that the all right, stop. We're about to go crazy here. We're about to go nuts, and we can't let it get out of hand. We get back to, though, the free will. There is God. God is the creator. There are those of us who choose to do wrong. There always have been those of us who have chosen to do wrong. And Satan wasn't the only being that chose to do wrong. And regardless of what Satan's origin was, he still fell under the thumb of God. And we have evidence of that in Job. Because God allowed a certain amount of things to take place, but drew a line that the devil had to follow. Yes. Well, we're talking Revelation there. So we have a reference to the devil as the serpent and him and his fellow angels being cast out in the revelation of John. We're not literally speaking, I don't believe, on that particular scripture. And we have to be careful about this when we go to Revelation to pull this stuff back in, as to God literally saying, get your backside out of heaven. Okay? And be careful when we look at that. But, yeah.
Yes, when you talk about David, is that the same one who was called Lucifer, the angel of light?
Lucifer, I don't think so. Because I'm not... Lucifer is not used. Lucifer is not used to describe the devil, I don't think. Bill?
Lucifer is only used one place in the Bible, and it was, the word means day star, yes, but it referred to Nebuchadnezzar.
Yes.
It was a description of him, of his kingdom, and how it was to take place. It is the only individual, the only time it's used in the Bible, and it's only in reference to that person.
All right. Now, hang on a second. I got 2.5 minutes. You got to get back to your seat, so on and so forth. I guess it was a little bit ambitious to think we'd get all the way through chapter 3. How do I want to leave this? What I want to leave it in is in chapter 3 here, where we're talking about this instance between the serpent and Eve. I don't have time now to go back to go through all the reference to relate to. The devil is taking part in this conversation. The serpent is really a serpent. He was punished. There was prophecy there that referred to mankind and the devil for later, yes. Jesus and the seed of man and the devil and the bruising of the head and the heel, yes. But there really was a snake. The snake really talked. Eve bought the lie. And because of that, they were kicked out of the garden.